How do you feel about ass?
I'm an ass man.
Now, do you love to stick them, though?
I love to stick them. I love to bite them.
Do you love to watch them?
I love to slap them.
Yeah.
I swear at one point, that guy said fuck them.
I love to fuck them!
I swear, it's in there. If you listen to it real close, it sounds like he says. I think it's actually, I love to love him, I think is what he says, but it really sounds like I love to fuck him.
Yeah, but that's basically what he means, right?
Yeah, well, he likes looking at them, touching them. And
so
probably
it's love them, love them, kick them, shove them. How do you feel about what's he doing there?
Shoving an ass?
Yeah.
I guess maybe like, is that the fuck I'm euphemism, maybe?
I guess.
So, yeah, like, you know, so here, shove it.
There's many problems with the song, okay?
Yeah.
But number one, shove them, stick them, sure. Flaunt them, yes. Watch them, okay. Pick them. That's an odd choice.
So do you think he means, like,
choose?
Yes. Like, I like to pick which asses I prefer.
I guess, but isn't that, why are we singing about that? That's everybody. We've all partaken in some sort of an ass contest at some point, no?
Yeah, I mean, whether it was, like, an official one or not, you know?
Right. Here's my other problem with the song. Earlier, he goes, I love to love him. I love to kick him. I love to shove him. Love to stick him. Love to flaunt him. Love to watch him. Love to pick him. And I'm going to kick him. He throws in kick him again. I feel that's lazy.
Right. Right. That's where I think you're supposed to be. Fuck him.
I'm going to fuck him. Can you imagine? Like, is this Jim Johnson who's singing this? Or did they hire a singer to come into a studio?
I don't think it's Jim Johnson. No.
So this is a hired person who's come in, probably a very good singer, maybe perhaps classically trained, and they handed him this.
See, I picture it being the same guy who did the Superstars theme. Diesel cool undertaker, Shawn Michaels heartbreaker. I think it's that same guy.
Yeah? Is it John Cougar Mellencamp doing it?
I don't think so.
No, you're not into. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to tell me if I'm the asshole in this situation, since we're talking about asses. Can we do this quickly?
You're the ass man.
Why? Am I the ass man in this situation? I go into one of these, you pull off a highway and it's like, I don't know, like a little building with like 3-4 restaurants in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I pull into one today. I'm rushing to get home to my son's baseball game. I pull into it today. And I don't have a lot of time. In fact, I didn't eat at a great shawarma place in the city I was in because I had to go. So I pull into this place, right?
And what shawarma?
It's like Lebanese beef and chicken and rice and potatoes. It's delicious.
Okay. You like it? Okay.
They eat it at the end of Avengers.
Oh, which one? The first one?
The first one. It's in that's the post credit scene. They're all eating shawarma. But it's good. It's great food. So anyway, but that's not here nor there. I didn't go there. So I go into this place and there's a Pizza Hut there. And my son has never tried the stuffed crust. So I'm like, fuck it. I'll get a stuffed crust pizza. I'll go watch the game. We'll have pizza after the game kind of thing. And so I asked the girl, I'm like, how long does it take to make a pizza? She says 10 to 15 minutes. I say, okay.
It's not bad. Yeah.
I can spare that. No problem. I can do that. So I go, okay. I pay for the pizza. And then I go to do a couple things, right? Like go get a drink here, walk around. I come back about 12 minutes. Now, she's also working the hotel. There's a hotel in this place too. So she's working the hotel desk and the Pizza Hut. Probably alarm bell number one. And so I'm standing there and it's right. The one's right beside the other. And it's been 12 minutes and, I'm not going to press her. She's with somebody, so I'm waiting. Then she serves the next person in the hotel room.
And is this like a Schitt's Creek situation where it's like one people run the whole town?
Maybe, Maybe, but she was very young. So maybe she inherited the town in some sort of fucking kooky scheme. So I'm waiting. Now we're at about 20 minutes past, right? And now I'm standing, I've moved myself a little bit closer to her, and I'm staring at her just to make eye contact, right? So that, hey, because I'm trying not to interrupt, but like right. A rational person would look at me and see that I'm waiting, and you know. So then I'm waiting, and another 5-6 minutes passes. So now we're like, I've been standing here now. I've been standing in this position for like close to 15 minutes, right? And you know, she's not looking at me. She's not moving. I've already waited 12, so we're like at 25 minutes. Finally, she gets up to help some other person at the hotel. She walks by the Pizza Hut area, like behind, and I go, "Hi, sorry, is the pizza ready?" And she looks at me and goes, "Yeah, I haven't started it yet. I had to do the hotel people." And I was like kind of flabbergasted. And then I'm like, she's like, "Do you want me to start it now?" And I'm like, "No, I want my money back." And she was so fucking shocked. Like I can't describe how shocked she was. It was as though I asked her to give me her fucking left hand.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I get the money back. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to eat? So I go to Burger King, and whenever I eat at these burger places, my order is simple. It's 2 double hamburgers, okay? And I'm always like no pickles and no cheese.
Right.
And 80% of the time, no, I say 90% of the time when I say 2 double hamburgers, no pickles, no cheese, they say to me, like in the, like I'm the idiot, a hamburger doesn't come with cheese. That's a cheeseburger.
Right.
But obviously I say this because I always get they always fucking put cheese in it regardless of what I say.
Naturally.
So naturally I'm rushing out. I grab my fucking order, fucking cheeseburgers. But at this point, I was 10 minutes away. I didn't turn around, though, to go and tell them off. Am I the ass man, or did I overcome there?
No, I mean, by not going back to tell them about the cheeseburgers, you did okay. I also think you were warranted in, like, you had to be somewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're wrong at all.
And the pizza girl, like, when she was kind of, like, flabbergasting over the fact that I wanted the money back – I just said, well, you know, you could have told me when I was standing right there that you hadn't started it yet. And again, she was like, what do you want me to do? Anyway,
yeah, today was an
exercise in self-restraint, I feel.
Look, I'll say this. Like, she's obviously put in a shitty situation, right? Like,
yes, that's why I didn't want to be a dick to her.
Right. This is more of a hate the player, don't hate the player, hate the game situation.
I do, however, think I would never have gone all out on her, because I do think exactly what you say. It's don't hate the player, hate the game. But I do think she could have helped by looking up and saying, "Hey, I haven't started it yet," somewhere around the time when I first got there.
Right. Right. She could have been more attentive to it. Like, yeah, yes, she's in the bad situation, but she also could have been a little bit more in tune with the issues going on.
Yes. Yes.
I don't disagree with that.
So not the ass man.
No, for once in this situation, I think you're clean.
Oh, well, speaking of ass man, now entering the Royal Rumble.
I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
Played the ass man theme there instead of the smoking guns.
I can't imagine there's one person. I've been mad at that. Now, I will say this, though. You could have gone with The One, which is the most superior of the songs.
Well, that's what I was going to close with instead of the You Look So Good to Me.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. He's had some sneaky good songs.
Yep. Because even the Outlaws theme is, like, catchy.
Yeah, I forgot about that one, too. He's had some really good songs. Is he up there with Triple H, I guess, as, like, best guy who had at least 3+ songs that were all good?
Yeah. Maybe Orton?
Yeah, if you count Evolution for Orton.
Or, I guess you can't really count this Fire Burns, but he used that for a while, too.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks, I think. It wasn't that long.
Right. Oh, what about the Randy News update? Yeah, I guess that would be it, right?
Because even Smoking Gun seems like solid.
Now, his worst is Rockabilly, right?
Rockabilly all night long. God, he's had a lot of fucking songs. So he's had Smoking Guns, Rockabilly, New Age Outlaws, Ass Man, The One, and then Billy and Chuck. And then I think he went back to Ass Man at the end when he was just like himself again.
He did. And you could also probably throw the DX theme. Because they came out to that sometimes too, right? Yep.
God.
Yeah. Look at all I've got. Well, here we are.
That. I used to blast that. Like, Volume 5 CD was like my CD. And that was one of the songs. We were just blasted. It had Kurt Angle on there too.
I loved Ass Man, but I also loved The One. Yeah, I guess Ass Man was off 4, right?
Yeah, Ass Man was on 4.
It's so funny. The little logo beside it when you type it into Google is the Seinfeld license plate.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. 4 was good. Jericho, Vince.
Yeah, 4 was great, too.
Blood Brother, is that Gangrel?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 5's got The Game, which is obviously a great song.
I'm gonna play the game!
Get Rowdy by Kid Quick, which is a good one. You know, move some things. If You Dare, Taz. Lita's Theme, Kane, Latino Heat, The One Billy Gunn, Raven, China, Kurt Angle, Rikishi's Heel Theme, Benoit, Too Cool, Turn It Up, and then The Rock singing Pie, which is like whatever, but there's some good ones on there. I mean, Kurt, Billy, Latino Heat, and like The Game alone are like, that's like a big CD.
Now, the one after that is the rape one, right?
Forcible Entry, yes. Pulled their, like, was it Finger 11 or whoever asked them not to be on there?
Oh, did they?
I don't know if it was Finger 11. It was someone got pissed.
But it was Forcible Entry?
Yes. Yep. Oh, it might have been Our Lady Peace. It was the Benoit song.
Oh.
And they said they didn't want to be on a CD named Forcible Entry. They didn't do anything about it. I just remember they were pissed about it.
Imagine like that's not even close to being their regret with that song.
I know, right? And 5 years later, it got a lot worse.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. The rape of the rape CD is fine. All right. Look, Billy Gunn. Not Billy. Yeah, Billy Gunn. He's Billy Gunn here. Mm-hmm. First Rumble appearance, 1994. Slides in at number 9.
And does nothing.
Well, Diesel is unfortunately waiting for him, and it is kind of a shame that Bart couldn't hold on a little bit longer.
Just a second longer, they could have been thrown out together.
Yes. And Vince could have, because when he comes in, Vince is like, it's Billy Gunn. So it could have been, hey, it's the Smoking Guns. We have to acknowledge, though, how good his mullet and mustache are here.
They're on point. I would say this is probably close to the peak, right?
Oh, yeah.
The mustache.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was still pretty blonde here, too. Mm-hmm. It gets dark for a while, and then I can't really tell them apart.
Racist. But yeah, he does nothing. He gets kicked in the face and just thrown out in under a minute.
We do get 14 seconds, not even half a minute. Right. We do get some really – we get to see his punches with the wrists. you know how he punches with like the inside of his wrist?
Yes.
So that's on full display here. But yes, this is nothing. It's literally nothing. It just adds to Diesel's run. All Billy Gunn does is run into a big boot. Not much going on here. I'm zeros across the board here.
Yeah. There's nothing going on. Yeah.
No. And just so we're clear, because just in case you're joining us for the first time, I don't know why you're joining us for Billy Gunn. Maybe you're a Billy Gunn fan and you're like,
fanatic.
Let's give this show a chance. We're ranking these things in three categories: presentation, creativity, and effectiveness. And we gave Billy zero respect, going zeros across the board.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing. It's really, no. I mean, anyone could have been there.
No. Now, if we're going on time, though, we have a bit of a decision to make, believe it or not. So he gets zero for the score, and that ties him with The Godfather 2001. Here's the rub. They're both in for 14 seconds.
Mm. So it's who, Godfather, or what year?
2001.
I think Billy probably accomplished more. As stupid as it sounds, but...
I agree. I think it's more important because he's part of the Diesel run.
Right. That's where I'm headed.
Yeah, whereas Godfather's just – he's the good father. Excuse me, it's not even Godfather. It's good father. And he's tossed out by The Rock.
Right. Yeah, let's go with Billy because that's like right in, as like the momentum's really cranking for Diesel in there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, that closes the door on Billy Gunn 1994. But don't worry, he's back in
1995. Not yet, but –
comes at number three here. And immediately slides nearly right across the ring and punches Mantar with his wrist right away.
Very late in the match. And he gets trapped by Mantar after throwing those punches.
Yes.
It's around the time, too, Vince reminds us that the Guns will be challenging 123 Kid and Bob Holly and Raw, our new champions, the next night for the titles. So, big match there for the Guns.
Because they couldn't be in the tag team title tournament due to a rodeo injury.
Yes, Billy broke his hand in a rodeo injury.
I wonder what actually happened.
Maybe those punches.
He broke his wrist. I just can't stop.
Maybe sticking too many asses.
It started long before. Like, he didn't have to be wearing those ass pants to love asses. He could love them fine just wearing jeans.
He could stick him. He could fuck him. He gets to do a bulldog and Sean doesn't really do much. He gets pretty banged up early on. A lot of laying around. He seemed a lot of it, actually. So maybe he was a little gassed from the layoff. And we don't really see a ton of him because the Bob Backlund and Bret Hart stuff is kind of playing out. And then he gets thrown around by Henry Godwin. What I thought was odd that stuck out to me was he never works with his brother.
No, because he comes in next.
Yeah, they just like they act like they're not both in at the same time.
Yeah, and there's it's not like there's not time. Like there's a point where like Bart is like struggling right. with Mantar and like Billy just walks past him and punches Lex Luger in the stomach. There's way too much Mantar in this Billy Gunn segment, by the way.
Right.
It's a lot of Mantar.
Yeah, there's a ton of Mantar.
Yeah.
Big bull. He takes a beating from Fatu. He barely survives that. And then him and Bart start fighting like idiots.
For no reason.
It made no sense. And then they just get thrown out by Murdoch and Crush together.
Yeah. I forget. Someone in one of the chats recently put something up where it was like – it was along – I forget what they were talking about, but it was along the lines of talking about a match. And they were saying something like, well, why doesn't this person just team with this person to get rid of this person? That would make sense logically.
Right.
And that made me feel like this person has never watched a Royal Rumble and seen how like, wait a minute, these two brothers in the ring, maybe they work together till everybody's out.
Right. You think that would make sense. And they're like the top tag team. Like this would be right in their wheelhouse to work together to dominate this match.
Yeah. And it's funny, eh? Because this 95 is such a problem match for star. I mean, it's a problem match for a lot of reasons, but especially star power. And I really feel like the Guns as a team, like as a unit, could have added star power.
Correct.
like on their own, they're nothing, as we see in 1997. But here, they really could have helped the match. Do you feel that him and Henry Godwin are like natural allies?
A pig farmer and a cowboy?
And the denim, too.
I think like they compare jeans.
Yeah, and I think like I imagine in the West, the pig farmer would be like, hey, man, there's been some outlaws. We need you guys to kind of clear out.
And what if he was like, well, I may look like a cowboy, but I'm actually a new aged outlaw.
Oh, he didn't even know.
And it'd be like, just because we both got dungarees on doesn't mean we're friends.
What are dungarees?
It's another word for jeans. You never heard that?
No, I never heard that.
You've never heard the word dungarees?
No. What? Dungaree or dungareeds?
Dungarees, I guess, right?
When you started saying that word, I thought you were going to tell me about a didgeridoo.
I'm all set with that.
No,
it's a dungaree is a fabric. It's denim.
But is it a different kind of denim?
Although dungaree now also refers to denim, it's unclear whether traditional dungaree was a precursor to denim. In the late 17th century, most dungaree was produced by either washed or bleached or dyed after weaving. Denim refers to cotton twill, which may be warped, dyed, undyed, or dyed after weaving. It's unclear which type of dungaree fabrics are available traditionally. In the United States, the mill at Shady Lee, North Kingstown, Rhode Island, built in the 1820s by Esbon Sanford to manufacture cotton wool blend fabric called Kentucky Jean, resembling a cross between burlap and the dungaree fabric of today. You go. Learned something new about my home state. I did not know.
Yeah. You should probably be a little bit ashamed that you didn't know that.
Well, I knew the term.
Yeah, that's true. But here's the thing. There's no dungarees around here. It wouldn't be called that. Be called some French names. It'd be a French name. Like jeans in French is Jean.
Jane
or Blue Jane. You know what rubber is in French?
Rubber.
Caoutchouc.
Robert, I believe.
Robert. We really have nothing to talk about with Billy Gunn 1995. I will point out that amidst all the bullshit, Fatu gives him the quickest low blow I've ever seen. It's like he just like a speed punch. Yeah. Was he too self-conscious about was Billy Gunn too self-conscious about touching Fatu's penis?
I mean, if it was his ass, he would have been all up in it.
I love to fist him. 7 minutes. I'm thinking this is kind of nothing. And the last thing we hear about him is Lawler talking about how stupid the guns are. And I can't blame him one bit.
Yeah.
Eliminated by Dickie Murdoch.
Yeah, nothing else there.
I'm at a zero for presentation. You, my friend, are standing strong at a one here.
Yeah, I mean, they're still presented as like the top team. I think the fact like them talking up the tag title match, it almost felt like a foregone conclusion the way they were talking. Like, these guys are the kings of the division. They'll be back on top. Even though it would be actually their first reign. But the way they talk about it made them at least feel like a top tag team.
Do you feel like when they do that, though, in the Royal Rumble, they're actually presenting them more poorly in the Rumble?
No.
In that, like, they're kind of saying they're not going to win this thing?
Why?
Because they're, like, because you're going to assume that whoever wins the Rumble is going to be wrestling a singles match for the title at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, that doesn't mean they can't be a double champion going in.
I guess I just struggled to see that with Billy Gunn, but at this point anyway. I'm a zero for work. I thought, like, if you're in the match and 10 seconds in, you're in trouble lying around, it's a problem.
Right. Agreed.
And zero effectiveness. He didn't really achieve anything.
Nothing.
All right. Well, your generous score of one gives him a score of one. Is he better than Savio Vega 1998?
I don't know. Probably not. Gasavio at least, like, have the stuff with Austin and all that going on, you know?
Okay. Damian Demento, 1993.
I think I'd rather watch Damian Demento.
Animal, 2006.
I'm going Animal.
I want to tell you that all of these I've just mentioned are things where you've thrown a one at them, and I'm still at all serious. What about Making a Difference, Fatu, 1996?
I'm going to put them above that. I felt like that was boring.
This is also boring, but I don't have a problem with it. All right, so that
didn't Fatu, well, eliminated Austin, right? Which we've been
by accident.
Yes, as we clarified through multiple people that reached out to us. But still, that's a black mark right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So that lands Billy Gunn 1995 as the 255th best Rumble appearance of all time.
Sounds right.
It does. Now, up until this point, not very interesting in the Royal Rumble. But I think that kind of changes in 1999.
Mm.
He comes in at number 20, and
actually, we missed 97.
Did we? Is he in 97?
Oh, no, he's not. He's not.
Yeah, no, Bart is. Bart gets beat up.
Yeah.
He's not in 98 because they're on the undercard. Okay. 99?
99.
Do it. Comes in number 20, and it's interesting because now he's been kind of like, I mean, he was part of the biggest team in the company, probably mm-hmm. those 2 years. I guess 94, you could probably make a case for the Steiners and the Quebecers, but the Smoking Guns are kind of a big team of the 90s. But it's so much bigger in 99 when he comes in as like one of the Outlaws.
Well, and he spent all of 98 in the top faction. Like the Outlaws joined unofficially, what, like in late December when they threw Funk in. I mean, they weren't part of DX, but they were like affiliated. And then they join officially the night after Mania 14.
The Cage.
And they're pretty much a top act like that whole year. So when he comes in here, he's been a top affiliated guy now for like a full year. And he's in the IC title picture because early in the night he fought Ken Shamrock. Did not win and had his ankle fucked up by Shamrock. So he does come out here. He's got no boot on. His ankle's taped up.
Hobbling, he hobbles to the ring, and
he sells it well. Yeah,
yeah. I actually love this entrance. I think it's really cool.
Well, and then Shamrock is the only one there waiting.
Yeah,
which was a nice touch too. And he's just all over him, destroys the ankle until Billy gets a back suplex to slow him down.
Well, and you know what's cool is that when he does that back suplex, he does it on one leg.
Right.
Like
it looked really nice.
I was really shocked that he put that level of detail in it, right. And then he press slam Shamrock. But it's really sloppy, and I actually think he did that on purpose, too, to sell the ankle. Like, those are the kind of adjustments that really get me on board with somebody's work.
Right.
You were saying, too, that, like, he's part of that main faction. But mm-hmm. I'd say at this point, too, he's, like, considered the guy who's going to break out of that faction, too, to a degree.
Yeah, I mean, more so than, like, Road Dogg, but I think they were all pretty equal still at this point. Like, Triple H, I think is being presented as the lead guy, right? He's been through all the 98. So, I mean, he's obviously at the top of the heap. But, I mean, China is getting super over here at this point. And X-Pac is really over, too. Like, this begins his biggest year. So, I guess you could say, like, based on trend and trope, maybe Billy, like, you assume he's going to be. But I don't know. Like, I don't think it's a guarantee when you look at it. Like, I think they were all still pretty in a good spot.
Oh, yeah. It's not to denigrate the others. I just think Triple H, you knew, was going. And it felt like It felt like Triple H was going to the main event and Billy Gunn was going to the position Triple H was in.
Right.
And then who knows from there? Like as much as X-Pac's about to have a great year and he's going to be pushed, I don't know if you had told me in January 1999 X-Pac is going to be world champion, I don't think I would have believed you. But I probably would have believed you with Billy Gunn.
Yeah, that's fair.
Shamrock just breaks the fuck out of his leg, though,
mm-hmm.
right after. And I think what he does early here, Billy Gunn, is, and it's going to sound crazy because it's probably the only time he does it, but he really adds star power to this match right when it really needs it.
Right. Yeah, this match is a weird one. There's so much odd stuff going on. And yeah, you're right. Like, it definitely lacks star power throughout it. It's interesting after, you know, talking about 95, 99, you would think in theory would be way better, but there's actually almost as much crap guys in there as 95. But I thought Billy had a really cool spot where he press slammed Shamrock on one leg, which is like crazy strength. Like, he held him up, selling the ankle, and he almost throws him out with a whip, and then Shamrock clips his ankle. So I thought it was a pretty good battle. It's very unique for a Rumble setting. Unfortunately, we do get sidetracked.
Kidnapping.
Yeah, with Mabel getting abducted. Austin comes back. But we do see Billy breaking up a double team by Tess and Shamrock with a double low blow, which is cool. And then he actually gets help from Austin, and they fend off the corporation.
Yeah, that's a cool little bit where it's Gunn and Austin against the corporation. And I think it's really easy to forget that Gunn and DX were actually part of the main event level feud with the corporation at this point.
Right.
Like, that's always on the back burner. I always view it as an Austin and Mankind thing, but they were just as involved kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
And we kind of get – it's weird. This is like if you – I feel if you watch this Rumble from Billy Gunn's entrance till the end, it looks like a great Rumble match.
Right.
It's just it's – he comes in at number 20.
Yeah, the first 20s are so much up and down with Vince – bailing out, Austin getting carted out, and then all just like the jobber stretch in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the two big lulls.
I think they would have been better with Vince as being 30. I think that was the mistake. I think trying to go Vince, Austin, 1-2 when you had never had any plan for them to go the whole way would have been better. And just had Vince could even sit on commentary and say, I'm going to watch it up close.
Yeah.
If you want to do that gimmick. And then just have everyone attack Austin going for the bounty. And, like, keep him in the match the whole time. Vince is freaking out. And then he has to come in at 30. And it's down to whoever, you know, Austin, China, whatever. And you can just say and finish.
Yeah.
But Vince jumps out of the table and just wins it.
Yeah, you could say. Yeah, I think that would work. I think if you could also do 1 and 2 without them escaping. Like, if you just have someone a little bit stronger come in to distract Austin in ring, and then Vince could escape to commentary, and then you could still – like, the whole problem with the match is that you take out the whole story of the match when you take Austin out of the match.
Right, and it's just not enough star power to keep the crowd engaged. I think Vince being 30 just cures a lot of that issue because he could have I think it just makes him like a little bit more of like a chicken shit. Like, he's not going to go toe-to-toe. And I get the whole point is they're trying to punish him, blah, blah, blah. But the punishment's going to come at Valentine's Day Massacre when Austin finally wrecks him, right? So
yeah,
I think Vince making himself 30 holds up better, and then he wins, like, sleazy by that.
Yeah, I can see it. There's a lot of ways to fix this thing. Like, just you know, book it better.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, so Triple H comes in. He helps Billy, who's done all he can with this ankle. Even Cole says, like, impressive, he's still there. And then Billy turns on Austin. He takes a shot at the bounty, which is just a mistake because Austin just throws him right out. But I thought it was a really fun outing. I thought it had some unique stuff. And, you know, his battle with Shamrock was well done beyond that, just selling and picking his spots. And it was cool when he just said, fuck it, and went at Austin. He's like, I'm on my last leg, literally.
Yeah.
Let me just take my crack at the money. So I thought it was a really good appearance by Billy Gunn.
Me too. Like, that whole bit with Austin, like, mm-hmm. Austin throws him into the ropes and he limps into the ropes and Austin crushes him with a clothesline.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a great sell. And then he gets kind of back on top, but before Austin throws him out, he kicks him in the ankle, which I think is, again, a nice touch. And as he goes out, Jerry Lawler says, I got two words for Billy Gunn. You're out. Fucking nailed him with that one.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, he nailed him. I love the leg selling. I was left with a sense that I wish he was in the match longer.
Yes.
Which is not something I usually say about Billy Gunn. As for presentation, I'm at a solid 3 here.
Yeah, same.
Like, he was like a solid mid-card act, kind of on the verge of kind of maybe breaking out or winning the Intercontinental title, but didn't really give him much more than that here.
Yep, I agree.
For work, I'm at a 4.
Me too. I thought he did a lot of cool selling on the ankle, the power spots, and just the creativity with the Austin stuff at the end. He had a lot of cool stuff in there.
Yeah, that ankle work is very good. For effectiveness, I went 2. He didn't last that long. He didn't eliminate anybody, but I thought he was a really exciting. I think he helped bring the excitement back to the match a little bit before Austin came out. I think he was an important face to have in there. He garnered sympathy. So I thought he did a great job in that aspect.
Yeah, I went one, but pretty much all the same stuff. Like, he just didn't really accomplish much. Like, if he wasn't in there, you know, it wouldn't have really mattered, right?
No, and truthfully, too, when I was rewatching this, I kind of forgot about the run altogether.
Right.
It was like, oh, yeah, he did come in without a boot, and then so on and so forth. All right, that lands him with 17 points. So a massive upgrade from his other ones.
Yeah, it's a good score.
Is he better than Davey Boy Smith, 1997?
Oh, he's so bizarre in that one.
He is bizarre. He threw me out!
Fuki bitch. Yeah, Bulldog is good in that one too, though. Who else is there?
Do you want to go above him or below?
Who's above?
Jake Roberts, 88. Earthquake, 90.
All right, he's not above Earthquake. We know that. No. And we like Jake a lot in that match.
He's not above Jake. Yeah.
Yeah. And who's below?
Smash, 90.
No. He's above that. He's above that. For sure.
Are you sure with all the Colossal Connection stuff? Because at the time, that was your argument for him, I remember.
Right, right. Yeah, the importance of it.
Yeah.
Then
under him is Shawn Michaels 1989, but that was really good too.
Right. And those maybe seem on par, actually.
Yeah.
Like, not really accomplishing anything, just like a good performance.
Yeah. Right. Although Michaels at least eliminated somebody.
Right.
Hello, Michaels is Bad News Brown, 89. Feuds with Savage and Hogan. And below him is Tully Blanchard, 89.
I think I have him above Michaels.
Let's give Billy Gunn a bit of love. Michaels has enough love at the top.
Yeah, this was a really good outing. I mean, he could have just not done anything.
He could have been thrown out in 2 seconds.
Right.
Is he the ass man here? Yes, he is the ass.
He is the ass man, yes. No. Well, he's badass Billy Gunn.
Okay, but he's not the ass man.
Right, he doesn't have the ass man music yet. That comes, like, in the spring.
Okay, so just badass Billy Gunn, 1999, 77th best Rumble appearance of all time.
Okay.
Interesting. Very interesting. Oh, but here he is, the ass man, in the next one in 2000.
Yes, he is pure ass now.
Yeah.
Although he's back with the Outlaws because his solo run is already done. It came and gone during that year.
But he does still have the nice pink tights and a t-shirt when he comes in at number 25.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in, goes crazy on The Rock, and I find his punches here are way better. They actually look like jabs.
Yeah, I feel like he did. His punches definitely did improve.
Yeah, those wrist punches are so strange.
Yeah.
Do you think someone at one point just said, just fucking hit me, man. It's fine.
Right. Like, get rid of those cowboy slaps.
Yeah. Not fucking slapping a cow. Yeah, there's a bit of a problem with this match, though. You can very clearly see his black thong through the light pink tights.
You don't think that's a specific choice?
I don't know, because it's not like you can see his ass through the tights. Do you think a line in the middle accentuates the ass?
I think it's on purpose. I think he wore the black thong to show through there.
Is that the picking aspect of the ass?
It's you're picking him, you know?
Right.
If you get what I mean.
Would he have the best ass in the company in 2000?
Well, Rikishi's there, so it depends what you're into.
No, Rikishi has most ass.
Right, right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of females there.
Yeah, it's probably Terrier the cat.
Right.
Right? Lita. Who knows?
Yeah.
Stop objectifying women.
I'm not. I'm just saying they have a nice ass.
I'm just saying Billy Gunn has a nice ass too, and that thong looks amazing.
I didn't disagree. I did not disagree with that.
Good. He pairs off with Test and just starts taking a beating. Then is like right away stomped in the corner by Al Snow. And I notice at this point, both he and Road Dogg are just lying in opposite corners of the ring.
Yes.
Is it just now that like the push for him is done and there's nothing left for him to aspire to?
Yeah, I mean, they're still tag team champions, right? They had the win earlier in the night in like 3 minutes over the poor acolytes.
Right.
This Rumble is just known for getting trapped in corners and laying around. I don't know. I mean, he's on the verge of getting put out with a shoulder injury, too. Like, that's about to happen.
Oh, the Dudleys. That's right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. He just kind of moves around, strikes, spends a lot of time with Bob Holly, trading punches. Big Show beats him up. He's just kind of a punching bag. Even when he gets left alone, he just sits in the corner and then goes back to Big Show. Rock, X-Pac. It's like all the same shit. Then him and Road Dogg finally toss Bradshaw. But then he sneaks up his partner and throws him out. So again, like stupid strategy.
Why aren't they working together?
Why is he eliminating his partner this late in the match? Deal with it at the end. And then Kane just throws him out. This is incredibly boring. He got the two eliminations, but literally just stood around and did nothing.
Yeah, it's like it's one of these guys who feels like he should be better in these things.
Right.
Because his offense is usually okay. It looks somewhat explosive. And then he comes in and just does nothing.
Right.
And the whole thing with eliminating Road Dogg, too, is that, like, you could almost excuse it in 99 and in 95. Not that I will. But you can kind of be like, okay, well, maybe with the people left in the ring, he views Bart Gunn as the strongest, so it's important to get him out.
Right.
But, like, Road Dogg is none of those things.
No.
Like, use him. You want to be left alone with Road Dogg as the final two.
Correct. That's your dream scenario.
Yeah. I can't think of a better scenario.
Right.
For anyone. He does play a bit of a role as after he gets eliminated, as he and Road Dogg beat up Kane on the outside. And this covers X-Pac's false elimination.
Right.
I'll be honest. I was pretty disappointed with this.
Yeah. Especially coming off 99, which was really good.
Yeah,
this felt like a major disappointment.
I still think he was presented strong, so I'm still at a 3 for presentation.
Yeah, me too. He's pretty much on par with where he had been.
Yeah, I'm going 0 for work, though. I thought he was awful.
Yeah, I gave him the 1. I don't know. He at least had you questioned the smarts, but, you know, he did show a little bit of creativity, attacking Road Dogg, throwing him out. His punches were good.
Creative if he does it every Royal Rumble when he turns on his partner.
Sure.
He's the Bad News Brown of Royal Rumbles. He's a real ass, man. I'm at a 1 for effectiveness. Eliminated 2 guys, lasted almost 10 minutes, but not memorable at all.
Yeah, same for me.
So Mr. Ass gets a score of 9. Now, do you think he's better than Dino Bravo, 1988. Who was a finalist.
No, I think he's below Dino.
What about Rikishi 2002?
That's where he makes his comeback, right?
Yes.
I don't know.
Butch 1991? I feel like he'd go safely above him.
Right.
Above?
Yeah, that's fine.
Above Butch, below Rikishi?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
All right. So now Ass Man Billy Gunn sliding in at the 151st best Royal Rumble appearance of all time.
Good for him.
I know. He's moving up. He's moving up. Before we get to his next one, you want to tell everybody what's going on in the North-South Connection Podcast Network?
Yeah, we got something every day dropping. A lot of it wrestling based, some kind of like this evergreen old school wrestling. We do have some current wrestling content as well on Fridays. We have a little pop culture as well coming at you on Wednesdays with the Jenny Position. Every Wednesday, Jennifer Smith has a new show out. And then we discuss some really prestige audio, Aaron, like your wrestler that was, if you want to tell us about that.
Sure. Well, I mean, look, it's kind of the follow-up to the year that was, which was breaking down every pay-per-view year in WWF mm-hmm. history. And it's just a real – I would say every episode is kind of a love letter to a wrestler. Or at least it's been a love letter so far.
Yep.
Because everybody I've touched – now, eventually I'm probably going to touch guys that I don't like as much. But it's looking at – I am an ass man also. It's looking at – number one, the guy's got to be retired. But it's looking at guys in 10 different categories, giving them scores and ranking them, and really trying to give an overview of their career and how they kind of fit into the grand narrative of the WWF.
Right.
And so, yeah, like, I mean, I'm really kind of doing a deep dive on what their storylines were. I rank their gear, you know, like stupid things like that. Like, I think it's kind of real nerd stuff. And I say that as the person who creates it. So
as the biggest nerd.
As one, yes, one of. So yeah, like I don't know. I'm really enjoying doing it so far. The first four I've recorded are all love letters, and I hope if you guys give it a listen, you'll let me know what you think, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, and so every other Monday, alternating with this show.
Yes, I'm dropping next Monday. I'll give you a hint for the next one. It's a guy from the 2000s that's dropping on.
Ooh,
I know.
Maybe so, it's the one.
Bam, bam. That's 2001. Wait a minute. Is he the one in 2001?
Yes.
Shit.
Look at he's gone.
Bring a blind man. See, it was it the same singer they brought it?
Yes, it's the Superstars guy. He's back. Here comes Vader now.
I found. I did not like him with the shorter hair.
No, I think it's a good look.
I don't know. I kind of grew accustomed to the longer ass man hair. He's like too shiny as the one.
Well, he's going to make sure, you know, he's the one.
He enters number 28 in 2001. Mm-hmm. And he comes out during the Austin and Triple H fight in the aisle, and he sprints to the ring, but he barely moves his arms.
Well, he is coming back from that shoulder injury.
Right. And when did he have that injury?
February. And then he came back it wasn't until the fall, because he comes back like around when they're solving their mystery with Austin, because I think they bring him out as like a potential guy, I believe.
Would he have been a better choice than Rikishi?
Probably. I don't know. I think his chance was done.
Yeah.
I think it would have been trying to resuscitate something that wasn't going to get resuscitated.
Yeah, and you might as well try it with Rikishi.
Right.
And plus, the Rikishi thing gives us the Rikishi Rock match, which I absolutely love.
Right.
Didn't he win the Intercontinental title in December too? He beats Eddie Guerrero, I think. Or does he beat Benoit? He beats one of them.
No, he fights them. Benoit destroys them, I think, at Armageddon. I don't think he wins the title.
No? Are you sure?
I'm
bringing it up. I'm checking.
I got some music while you do that.
What is it?
Bulldog Englishman.
Is that just Doc Hendricks singing?
I don't think so, no. No, because they show the guy in the video. He looks like he's like, you know, Hank Williams Jr. is the Monday Night Football guy.
Oh, are you ready for some football?
Yeah, I think they mock, like, it's like a mock version of him. Like, it's not actually him, I don't believe.
Right.
I think it's like a mock version of him. So I think that's like their approach.
Right. It's just a shittier version of the Monday Night Football because they have an inferiority complex with Monday Night Football.
Correct. Now, listen, it may be the same guy. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm an ass man. That yeah is the best.
Let's listen to him now. I think it might be him.
It's so good. It's such a stupid song, but it's so good.
Got the kick. Right here it is, right? Wanna fuck him?
Split them. Yeah. So he does. Saxophone, saxophone.
I think this is my favorite. This is definitely the same guy as Ass Man. It's gotta be.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, it's exactly it sounds.
Fancy. I got it all. That's gonna be the only song ever to use the word, the phrase, on occasion, right?
Yeah, yeah, in the history of music.
Yes. No one else has ever said that in a song.
No, no one else is that stupid.
On occasion.
It makes it sound so casual.
Right.
So he did win the Intercontinental title from Eddie Guerrero. Okay. On November 21st.
And then and then Benoit destroys him and takes it, right? In Armageddon.
Yes.
But I guess what I was thinking of.
It's crazy that he gets to be the one that ends. Oh, I guess it's because Guerrero kind of fucked over China, right? And was he banging China? Was that the story?
Yeah, no, it was just like old friends backing each other up kind of thing.
Right. Old friends who had fought in the past?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah, I don't know. Can you present, like, has there ever been a guy successfully presented as a woman, I guess Cosmo Kramer, but in the promotion as like one of the women's just friends and come off better for it?
Hogan with Elizabeth?
Yeah, but we know they weren't there, so he had lust in his eyes.
Yeah. I'll tell you, if you check out Wrestling Warzone, every other Thursday on North South, Chad Campbell and I go into the Monday Night Wars. Like, if you're a Mega Powers era fan of Hogan Savage and Liz and all that, like, I did not realize how in depth they go with that stuff in WCW. Like, in the NWO stuff. It's really good. Like, Hogan using Liz against Savage and all this, like, fuck with him. It's, like, pretty intense.
Well, by then, too, like, hasn't Liz kind of already kind of fucked with Savage and joined Flair, right?
Yeah, but this is even, like, more diabolical by Hogan. Because he's, like, abusing Liz and using her to, like, get in Savage's head and, you know, fuck with him before their title match. And he's kind of WCW's last guy, and they're using Liz against him. And they make her sign this contract to protect. It's, like, but it's what adds to it is the, if you know, like, the full history of them, you know what I mean? Like, it's cool.
Right.
But they don't jam it in your throat like that you need to know or have been part of that. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but.
It would be like Michael Cole being like, Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage were friends in the 1980s.
They both had sex with Elizabeth.
Sometimes at the same time.
That was always my favorite. One of my favorite rumors as a kid was that Hogan and Beefcake were brothers.
Yep.
Brother. And Liz was their sister.
Wait, Liz was their sister in this rumor?
Yes, that was a big rumor at the time.
So Macho was his brother-in-law?
Yeah.
Oh. Fucking talk about a family feud. Oh, God. Imagine how fucking angry Savage would be if someone had actually banged Elizabeth.
I mean, you're assuming no one did, I guess.
I guess, but that person would be in prison, right? Like, Savage would be in prison in the 80s anyway.
Right, probably. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. That other guy being a body bag. What are we talking about? Billy Gunn? The one?
In 2001.
That's right. He comes in 28, sprints with his arms, jabs both The Undertaker and Kane. Mm-hmm. Is he the chosen one?
He's just the one.
But is that
the,
like,
only,
like,
one?
Is he like the one, like Neo's the one in the Matrix?
He's just, I don't know. I haven't seen those.
You never seen The Matrix?
No.
You should probably at least see the first one.
He's the one. Yeah. He's just the one.
Well, before I could even try to figure it out, Taker and Kane just start murdering him.
Mm-hmm.
Dead. And he's just dead in the corner. And then The Rock comes in and continues like the ass kicking he's been giving him for the better part of 2 years now.
Yes.
But I will say Billy Gunn does a really great job of selling Austin's punches. Like, he hurls himself in the air. I really think he's very good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a mud hole stomped in him. Just kicked by The Rock. And like, Austin's not doing anything. So at one point, he just runs over the corner and kicks him some more. And so Billy Gunn makes the final four of this 2001 yep. Royal Rumble, which is crazy. Is it insane that Billy Gunn and not The Undertaker or Rikishi are in this final four?
I don't know. It's a pretty standard Rumble trope, like, to have like the one kind of outlier guy in there at the end. And he's like a big enough name. He had just come back. He had had the IC title, and he actually had one of my most favorite moments ever at Survivor Series in the Immunity Battle Royal. Oh, that's later.
Okay.
Never mind. We'll talk about that later. Sorry. That's 01. I'm getting my years confused. We'll talk about that
later in this year. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Okay. I don't know. Like, it just, especially with Rikishi, like them trying to push him.
Right.
I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. I think Rikishi's out right before, but he always strikes me as like, it's him, Austin, Rock, and Kane.
Right. Like, I think he's a big enough star that it's not like crazy.
No, I don't think it's crazy. It's more crazy for me from the perspective of, we just eliminated Undertaker and Rikishi. Like, if they had been eliminated earlier in the match, then I think, oh, I probably wouldn't even have thought about it, right? But it's because they just go out, and then, oh, here's Billy Gunn in the final four.
Right. I
can see that. Everyone just kind of walks over and kicks him so he doesn't get involved. Wrist punches not to involved. Austin. He's not booked. Famous sort of Austin. But then Austin just reverses a whip and throws Billy Gunn to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of that run. 7 minutes, 22 seconds. Not the worst run. I'm at a 2 for presentation. So a little below the ass man. The one, I guess, is a little below the ass man, sadly.
Yeah, I went with a 2. Same. Slightly.
I'm at a 1 for work. So again, nothing spectacular here.
Yep, same.
And I threw him a 1 for effectiveness for making the final four.
I give him a none.
Yeah, that's fine. That lands the one Billy Gunn with the 7. And that 7, oh God, here we go. Is he better than Rick Martel 1993?
Probably not.
Jake Roberts 97?
Probably not.
Okay, let's start at the bottom. Sam Houston, 88?
Probably.
Shane Douglas, 91? Minutes.
Yeah, better.
Knobs, 1993?
Probably better.
Jannetty,
90? Jannetty, 90.
He's in there with DiBiase at the beginning.
Yeah.
Better. All right, so that's going to land him above Jannetty, below Jake Roberts from 97. And that lands the one, Billy Gunn, from 2001 as the 179th best Rumble appearance of all time. And I think if he had called it a day here, no one would have been upset.
Yeah, overall. Although it would have taken away one of my favorite moments, which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Yes.
At Survivor Series 2001, when he's the final two in the Immunity Battle Royal,
mm-hmm.
with him and Test. And, like, he's definitely on fumes at that point, completely. But he loads up the Famouser. He's, like, slaps the leg.
Yeah.
And the crowd pops so loud. And even he looks surprised. He looks to the crowd like, what? And then he misses it and Test throws him out. But it's like one of my favorite moments because, like, he was not expecting any kind of pop like he got, and it was great. Like, he taps the leg to set up the famous sir, and everyone stands up and starts to go crazy, and he's just like, holy shit.
That's awesome. I remember that. I love when a guy genuinely looks surprised by the audience reaction he gets.
Right. It's like, whoa. I also liked the earlier in that year when I believe it's a one when him and Big Show are complaining about not getting pushed. And Vince says, you can call yourselves double trouble crap on a stick. I don't really care.
Yeah.
It's another great Billy Byrne during this year.
Like, we've given you enough chances. How many chances is this guy? Is he one of the guys who's had the most chances?
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely up there. Although, I don't know. Maybe not. Because, like, I feel like it depends how you're quantifying it. Like, chances that didn't work or chances that either way. Like, because, like, he gets a bunch, but usually they work when they try and push him. Yeah. The problem with 99 is they just go, like, a little too hard. If they just sort of left him as, like, kind of king of the upper card and back a little bit in the main event. But
I mean, it's
like
it's
even Billy and Chalk, like they give another chance there. I'm like, that hits, you know?
That's true. He's a good performer.
Yeah.
He's not good in these rumbles as we're seeing, but like as a performer, I think he's probably a little underrated.
Right.
You could probably see if he lands up on our greatest WWE wrestler of all time list. If you listen to No Holds Barred every other Saturday on the North South Connection Podcast Network.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking he's down a, those lists.
Yeah. He's in a number seven here. Early draw. He's in his tag team with Chucky, which is what JR pronounces them in this one dispatch.
He hates Billy him. He hates Chucky. Him. Yeah.
And he has some aggression. He eats a Bradshaw boot and is dead. King sees, says he needs a pacemaker. But then he takes some more strikes from Bradshaw. And then he kind of falls to the back, more of his usual standing around in the corner. He kind of brings it to Goldust. And then Undertaker comes in and just murders him with a chokeslam, and he gets thrown out.
It's so high. The chokeslam is so high.
Yeah, he throws him to the sun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of nothing before the chokeslam, though, right?
A whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah. I'm at a one for presentation.
Yes, same.
I gave him a one for work, really just for the chokeslam, because it was so high, it must have really hurt.
I gave him a two because of that chokeslam. Like, I thought he had a couple of nice bumps. The Bradshaw clothesline, too, like, fucking wrecked him.
Mm. Yeah. I didn't give him any sort of points for effectiveness, even though he eliminates Bradshaw, so I'm at a zero there.
Yeah, same.
All right, so Billy and Chucky, that gives him a five.
Chucky.
Ugh, he hates him. He hates him so much.
Mm-hmm. So disgusted by it.
No. All right, better than Ric Flair 2006?
Probably not.
Virgil 92?
I don't know. Probably not.
Rick Steiner 94 with the mist in his face.
I feel like that at least was a story, you know?
Yep, this was nothing. Brian Blair, 88?
Yeah, he can go above Brian Blair.
Here we go. Okay, well, that, look, that lands Billy from 2002 on the precipice of 200 as the 199th best Royal Rumble appearance of all time.
He'll be at that 200 soon, I'm sure.
Yes, very soon. One more for Billy Gunn, though, and back to Ass Man, right?
Let's do it. Yes, he is back to Ass Man. That's when he knew he had really run out of things to do by this point. He's like, now, I guess he's still kind of, he's not like really Mr. Ass, he's just Billy Gunn, but he's using the Ass Man music. This is when he's having the foursome with Jamie Noble and Tori Wilson and whoever the fuck it was, a threesome, remember? The whole thing?
Yeah. He gets zero reaction when he comes out in 2004.
Yeah, I mean, he's just hanging on.
Yeah.
I wrote that exact note. He runs out to zero reaction. Yeah. JR's almost surprised to see him. He's like, oh, Billy Gunn. But he puts him over big as a veteran. And he has a fun little flurry. Like, I thought he hits the famous are on Angle, punches everyone, and then a famous are on Big Show, which looked cool. Yeah, I thought it was, I don't know, I liked his opening flurry.
Yeah, I liked it too. I find that this is a nice snapshot of how much the promotion has changed.
Right.
Because like he looks freaking huge in the ring next to like Jericho and Angle.
Right.
Who are like the stars of the promotion now.
This Taz has a great line. He says Billy was once married to a guy, and then he asked JR if he ever was. And like JR like gets flustered. It's really funny. You ever been married to a guy, JR? But beyond that, not much. He gets trapped by Benoit, which is not a place you want to be in. Nope. And then he ends up going right at Big Show, which I thought was cool.
Yep.
But he gets leveled with some chops, and then he gets crushed by a Goldberg spear and thrown.
The spear is disgusting.
Like, yeah, it's really good. So it was usual stuff, but I like the hot flurry, and I like the finish. It's just he always struggles in that middle stretch.
Yeah, but this is his shortest at only 5 minutes and 30 seconds. It's just there's nothing left in the tank for this character at this point, which is a bit too bad. Like, he's almost a guy they missed the boat on, but you're right that most of his pushes did work. It probably just speaks to the idea that not everybody has to be a main eventer.
Correct. Like, I think he would have been perfectly good in that upper mid-card role and should have just stayed there. Maybe on an in-your-house, gets a title match. You know what I mean? He's got DX in his corner. Like, you can maybe pull off something like that, right? Or on a Raw, gets a world title match. You build up a little bit. But he's probably not going to be your champion, which is fine. He could have lived a good life as IC guy.
I wonder how much of that so it kind of falls on the fact that they kind of swap him and Road Dogg out in early 99.
Yeah, there's a bunch of missteps in there. You can hear about him on Year That Was. If you go back in the archives when you broke down 99, you can hear about him on WWE War, which is every other Saturday. Mm-hmm. Marcus Fuller and myself doing a kind of a sabermetric statistical breakdown of every WWF pay-per-view year in history or every season. And one of our earliest seasons was 99-2000. So we went right through Billy Gunn's whole push. So we talk a lot about the missteps there.
I think my favorite, because you guys are on the NXT season now, and I love how much Marcus is just so enamored with the Shawn Michaels influence on the product. Like he really, the passion that he has for Shawn Michaels is something to behold, you know?
But this is one, though, I don't think it's over exaggeration, because I do feel you can, like, especially in that season, like 18 to 19, you can feel his heavy influence, which I don't think is a good thing in every match. You know what I mean? Like,
oh no, I don't think so either.
Right. It's like too much. If they did it now and then, it would be okay. But it's like every big match, sometimes to a show, have like these big dramatic pathos going on, and you can just feel it's in the Shawn, passion of the Shawn style, right?
You know, I think the problem in that is that I think that match, that type of match worked really well for Shawn.
Yes.
But because Shawn, regardless of anything, I think it's a pretty fair statement to say that Shawn is kind of a master of timing in the ring. And that's something that, like, you really can't teach. It's almost like you can I liken it almost to like being funny, right? Like I find like when you're dealing with someone, you're trying to like when I'm directing a play and I need someone to be funny, it's really hard to teach that timing. Like it's one of those things you either have or you don't. Mm-hmm. But when you force someone who doesn't have it into the role, they're never funny. And I kind of think that's what happens with the NXT matches.
Right.
Is that these guys are great, like Gargano and Ciampa. It's Gargano and Ciampa in that season, right? Yeah. And then the next year, it's Gargano and Cole. But like, they don't.
Well, no, Gargano, Cole, yes. But the season ends with their first match at New York.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But those guys, as much as they can work like crazy, they don't have the timing of a Shawn Michaels.
Right.
And so as a consequence, those matches end up not feeling overly long.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about that. Sorry. That's on me. So Billy Gunn 2004. I gave him a 1 for presentation.
I gave him a 2. I don't know. They talk him up. Like, JR really puts him over as a veteran. He's back in the ass man look. Like you said, he seems bigger than the rest of the guys. Like, he kind of goes at the bigger guys. So, I don't know. I thought they... It felt about on par to me as, like, the one.
That's fair. I'm at a one for work.
I gave him a two. I gave him a point for selling the Goldberg spear, which looked really good. And I liked his opening flurry with the Famousers and all that. So
he does hit Big Show with the Famouser too.
Yeah, so I kind of gave a point for that, and then a point for the awesome spear. That spear was worth the point alone.
Fair. I went zero for effectiveness, though.
Yeah, same. He doesn't do shit.
Anything. That gives him a score of six.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is he better than Jim Duggan 2009?
I don't remember.
That's the he's just a cameo, right? But everybody pops and goes crazy, so.
Yeah, probably below that.
Below Jim Duggan 2012 then also.
Probably.
What about Tugboat 1991?
So the biggest thing he does is like the fake out with Hogan, right? Which I guess is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. All right, Sione 1995.
He's probably above that.
I guess. Even though Sione eliminates three people in that match.
I don't really care. I mean, no, I just like that spear, but I mean, you're right. Sione does do some stuff.
The spear is more memorable than anything Sione does.
Right.
And I probably underrated him a bit, so let's put him there. Okay. Oh, so sadly, that pushes Billy Gunn 2002 out of the he's now number 200. And Billy Gunn 2004 is the 192nd best Royal Rumble appearance of all time.
Okay.
Interesting Rumble career for this dude, right? Like seven Rumbles, but only a total in-ring time of 40 minutes and 58 seconds.
That's our kind of guy right there.
I know. He's perfect. Only three eliminations, too, in this time.
Yeah, just not a very elite Rumble performer. I mean, he had the one great one.
Yeah.
In 99, but beyond that, just a couple spots.
Yeah. Billy Gunn is the 90th person that we've covered on this thing, by the way.
That's a lot.
And I know, and I think when we get to our 100th guy, we probably got to do something special.
Okay.
I don't know what yet, but we'll figure it out. Okay. So do you want to break down our top 10 appearances so far?
I'm just going to let you run through them. How about that?
Let's do it. Number 10, Bret the Hitman Hart, 1994. Number 10. Number 9, The Ultimate Warrior, 1990. Number 8, Hulk Hogan, 1990. Number 7, Shawn Michaels, 1996. Number 6, The Undertaker, 2002. Number 5, Shawn Michaels, 2007. Number 4, Diesel, 1994. Number 3, Hulk Hogan, 1989. Number 2, Shawn Michaels, 2010. Holding steady at number one, Ric Flair from 1992. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Nothing changing, so that's okay. But I don't know. We'll kind of see where the rest of this leads. I'm sure we got some coming up that might challenge. Billy Gunn's best appearance, by the way, is still at number 77. So he's a ways off. And like on every episode, we break down the top 10 performers. That's an aggregate of all their performances averaged out. Billy Gunn, not a great showing. He's of the 44 guys that crossed the threshold of having three Royal Rumbles. Billy Gunn is 33 out of 44. Is that surprising to you?
No, that seems about right.
He's one ahead of Tatanka and one below Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah. And it's kind of the Tatanka's, like, I always think of one of the more disappointing ones, and Billy kind of was disappointing, too.
Yeah. He'll always be ahead of Bart, though, who is our last place guy so far.
Naturally.
All right, top 10 performers so far. Nothing changes, but if you're just joining. Number 10, Mr. Perfect. Number 9, Ted DiBiase. Number 8, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Number 7, Diesel. Number 6, Ric Flair. Number 5, Randy Savage. Number 4, Bret Hart. Number 3, The Undertaker. Number 2, Shawn Michaels. And holding strong at number 1, the immortal Hulk Hogan.
Let's see if he can ever be dethroned.
It'll be a tough one, brother.
Mm-hmm.
closes the book on Billy Gunn and now entering the Royal Rumble.
Keep on rumbling.